Thank you for joining us today at Miniature Wargaming Labs. I'm James.
And I'm Brian.
Well, Brian, so on this very special episode, we are going to finally do the part two to running a game tournament.
I didn't think we would ever have a part two, but hey, here we are.
Much like sequels to movie, every 3 years we can discuss
it. Yes.
But let's, real quick, what have you been hobbying on?
Actually, a whole bunch. I've been kind of been jumping around and just every second just doing something different for four different things. So I joined a Necromunda group, and luckily I don't have to do too much hobbing for that since I have two painted gangs. But of course, I decided to, hey, I have the extra weapons pack for my gang, might as well get another gang so I could have all the options, right?
Yeah.
So, I ordered another box of the Vansar.
Okay.
So that I can build all the options. And so,
Did you need the paint scheme for the Vansar?
I will need the paint scheme, yeah, since you painted it. It makes it so much easier. Oh, I mean, unless you want to pay more. And then I started getting back into 40K. Started since the New Orc Codex comes out next weekend.
Now, I talked about doing the Rogue Trader Combat Patrol. What level were you thinking about going in at? For 40K.
For 40K?
Yeah. Were you doing Combat Patrol or were you going beyond that?
Yeah, 4,000 points.
Well, no. The Combat Patrol. You might have 4,000, but will you be playing at the Combat Patrol level?
No, I'm playing full 22,000 points.
Well, unfortunately, they do not have a 2,000-point codex for the Rogue Traders.
No, not yet.
Not
Imperial Agents are coming out soon.
Very well.
So that is it was leaked. So you will have the Assassins and the Ecclesiarchy and all of that entire area. And you have, what, all the miniatures for that?
Yes, I have. I have all those miniatures.
So there you go. So you'll have, but, you know, I'll have the Combat Patrol. I just need to get Death Dread.
Okay.
So yeah, I just built 3 Death Coptas, and speaking of the Combat Patrol, I built the half of the Combat Patrol that I actually have. I just need to get the Death Dread and the boys from it, which the boys come in the big box that I'm getting. So,
all I need. Yeah, you're getting that big.
Oh, oh yeah, man,
that new orc box. Talk about something where they're not making enough. Because
three as a store. I ordered 15.
I would buy and hack that box up to pieces and make money on it.
Oh,
but you can't get that box.
You can't get that box anywhere. So, been working on that for 40K. I started building my spires for Conquest.
Okay.
I started small. I started with just one unit, since it's actually a decent amount of miniatures, since I decided to go with a Horde army, because of course I did. But I do have one of the giant units, the Abomination, which is super cool. The really good miniatures. Parabellum does some really cool stuff.
Yeah, I saw some of the larger ones. That was before Depticon. Started getting your army in.
Yes.
There. You were trying to figure out, how do you place this thing together? Which one of these almost identical arms goes into this evil elf?
Yes, when everything's a mutated arm, they all kind of look alike. And then I'm getting my friend Alex, who you know.
Yeah, he's back in town.
He's back in town, and he wants to play some Blood Bowl. So now I got to get all my Blood Bowl players together, which I thought were all painted, but then I opened up my box and realized 3 of them aren't painted, so I need to...
Hey, when do those gnomes come out? I want my gnome... I will do Blood Bowl with a gnome
They come out
faction.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, geez.
But we're sold out. So...
Of course you are.
No gnomes for you, because everybody wants the gnomes. The commissioner for the Blood Bowl League in town limited the number of gnome players to 3 because 7 people said that they were going to play it next season. Seven. Do you know how many active players we have? We have 14.
So that's half.
Half.
You could almost form like a gnome league. Just
yeah, that's
Blood
a,
Bowl.
Yeah.
And Blood Bowl gnomes.
See, that's when you just have the half pint league. You have like the gnomes, the goblins, the halflings, and the rats.
That'd be great. Gutter Bowl? A Gutter Bowl league?
That would
only
be...
But you can only use those four.
Only the short guys.
Well, that would make sense. All the little teams that could never play Blood Bowl or Blitz Bowl,
yeah,
would be outside the stadium playing Gutter Bowl.
Yes.
So that would... Look at that. Right there.
Oh, and the Snotlings. Can't forget the Snotlings.
Yes.
Now, every one of those has a big guy that they could bring. But, you know, they're mostly little guys.
Yeah.
There's the little guys.
You know, I wonder if we'll see a Blitz Bowl expansion in Barnes & Noble with the gnomes.
Oh, do they even do Blitz Bowl anymore?
They did that big Season 2 upgrade pack.
Yeah.
Of where they had all the cards. And now they have a Season 2 pack. They haven't updated recently. They've been running it for almost a year now. But I could see them doing that. Because Barnes & Noble's... loves carrying those exclusive packs.
Oh,
Catalyst,
yeah.
Games for Battletech in there. I could see them like, what do you have that's hot that people will buy off our shelves even if they don't want to play Blitz Bowl?
Because they probably get it for cheap.
Yeah.
And then even if they mark it down 40%, that's when everybody goes in and just buys them out.
Yeah.
So no matter what, they're guaranteed to sell it.
Yeah. I hope they do that so I can go over there.
Barnes & Noble does play a good role in that, where it's just like, they have all these introductory things, but you can't play there. And you can't get everything you need for the full game there. So if they're interested in it, they're forced to go to us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because you can pop them out. Like, the GW ones are always the push fit.
Yes.
So, yeah, you could pop them out. The Catalyst, it's like, yeah, but they're not painted.
Yeah.
So, you can... but it's not the same.
It's like not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Well, they started carrying Onslaught. The D&D Onslaught.
That makes sense. It's pre-painted miniatures. It's more of a board game with expansions.
Yeah. So with the pre-painted, I think that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. That's why they carry X-Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pre-painted, ready to go right outside of the box. You just can't play at Barnes & Noble. You have to find
a
store.
Well, you keep saying that. Why not?
Because they will kick you out.
No. Not in Albuquerque, Barnes & Nobles.
Oh, that's fair. They're too busy with other things.
If you're just sitting quietly playing a game, they are not concerned about you.
You're the least of their worries. And how about you?
Oh, right now it's all Bretonians. So I've been doing
all Bretonians.
I've been doing video log, getting ready for Nova Open. So I've finally started priming.
Nice.
And so certain primers, accelerants, smell more than others. If you're familiar with like Army Painter versus Games Workshop, Army Painter accelerant is very stinky.
Yes.
Especially in the metallic colors and the black.
Yeah.
And my rear door is not as solid. So I need an extra 20 paces to get away from the rear door because it flooded my house.
Oh, no.
When I was priming last night. But hopefully start painting soon. So my plan is, see on the log on the YouTube channel, but plan is to like paint up like half of it, and then, which is like 1,000 points. No, 1,250. And then on the second 1,250, try to game out like, what other units I want to expand. It's like, do I want more knights, more men-at-arms, more bowmen?
Yeah.
And also balance by fact, what can I get my hands on? Because that is actually the bigger problem with buying old world models.
It's
like,
it's what can you get your hands on?
Can you get a green knight? No.
No.
No. And I'm sure once that new Forge World model, the one Duchess, she comes out with all the little roses there, I don't think... that's going to be available for long.
No, it's not. That's going to sell out almost instantly.
Yeah. Like everything old world. So.
Yes.
But yeah, that's been the predominant is Old World. Yeah.
See, if you need anything, you just wait until Nova Open, and then you buy it the first day, and then you just build and paint it while you're there, right? That's the whole, like, hobbying experience, right?
So what? Oh, yeah, show up at the Games Workshop Forge World store.
Yeah.
I need these models now.
I mean, it's there. Why not?
Of course, that was the problem. Whenever you go to that, the traveling one, they don't always have everything. Or even if they do, they can't find it.
They can't find it, yeah, because they're so unorganized.
Yeah, you got to go every day. Because the shop.
Yeah, because it changes. Shifts,
yeah, as they un-archive.
And so I do have a list of things for you to pick up while you're at Nova. Luckily, it's not as big of a list as I would have if you're going to Adepticon.
It's three models, so that'd be, what, $250?
Yeah, you know it.
But let's talk about the main event here, hosting a tournament. So last time we discussed, you probably didn't dig back into season one.
I did not. No, I usually listened to... You completely forgot. I usually listen to, if we're doing a follow-up episode, I usually listen to the episode that we're following up. But I totally forgot that we talked about this.
Yes.
Until you reminded me.
So you helped organize Rumble 66 a long time ago, which, as an entity, still exists, but not in a physical sense, like on the material.
No, it is not a actual...
As a tournament, it's a thought experiment.
It is something. I don't know what it is, but it is out there in the world.
So you are actually hosting an Infinity tournament in Albuquerque. Tell me about that.
So it all started last year. The first game I played of Infinity. Oh, yes, in the Wayback Machine. So it all started with the first game I played of N4 when my friends got me back into Infinity last year, right before I went to Adepticon. It was called the Birkay Blitz, which was a callback to an older... context... The Rumble on Route 66 wasn't always in Albuquerque. The first 3 years were actually in Amarillo, Texas. So, Albuquerque did have its own tournament. It was called the Birkay Blitz. And then Rumble on Route 66 moved to Albuquerque, as the main organizers were in Albuquerque. So it was just closer, there was a major airport, there was an airport that is easier to access than Amarillo, Texas. So we moved it there, and then for the last 3 years, it was in Albuquerque. So last year, the local guys tried organizing a tournament. They tried using the name Rumble on Route 66, because that's what everybody knows, and they were told to know they can't use that, because that is not... an available name. And so they went with Birkay Blitz because A, it was used in the past, and B, it's Albuquerque. So,
which fascinates me because after you told me that, I checked and I can find no copyright or trademark for.
You know, we talked about this the last time too. So if anybody wants to know more, they could go listen to the last episode.
Okay.
So went to that. That was four rounds. It was a lot of fun. There was not a lot of people there because the Infinity crowd didn't really take off here at that point. It was kind of after, it was during the dead period. It was, you know, just wasn't well put together. So there wasn't usually you go to a tournament, there's patches, there's t-shirts, there's, you know, a big prize, a lot of prize support. There wasn't a lot of that. So I was going to stay out of everything. I was just going to be like, hey, I'm here. I will help organize if whatever you need. And it got to the point where it was like 2 months before we were supposed to have the tournament, and nobody was doing anything. And I was like, all right, well, it's clear to me that nobody wants to run this. And they didn't. They didn't really want to run it. So I was like, I really want to run it. So I asked them if it was okay if I took over, and they were more than ecstatic to let me take over. So I took over, and I did some polling. When I traveled, I asked everybody. It's like, hey, what do you think about the Brookgate Blitz? And they were like, what the heck does that name mean? And I was like, oh, y'all don't know. You're not from Albuquerque. So I did some, did some peer research and decided that the Brookgate Blitz was not a good name. It's a great name for people in Albuquerque. So we will see that name come up later. But if we're trying to attract people from out of state, they need a name that is synonymous with the area, but also not a local colloquialism.
Okay.
So we decided to go with a name that did upset the people at Route 66, Rumble at Route 66. So we changed the name again. It was originally Revival on Route 66, but that upset some people. So we decided, all right, let's not ruffle any feathers. Let's change it, even though that was a great name. So we decided on the Rio Grande Retribution. So, usually the name is, an anagram? Not an anagram, that's a mix-up of a word. Alliteration.
Oh, alliteration.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to the acronym RGR, RGR.
No, okay. It's usually like, because there's the Sin City Smackdown, okay, or the Salt Lake Showdown, or the Arizona Armageddon, or the, oh, I can't mention that one on that show. On this show.
Oh, the foul language one?
Yes. But yeah, so it's always, or the Baltimore Brawl. That's one that's okay, a little further north. So there's always, it's always an alliteration. So the Rio Grande Retribution. So everybody liked the name. And so now it is set to happen May 18th. The weekend of May 18th. So we have 32 slots open. Right now we're sitting around 20. A lot of local people, which is great because we were actually outnumbered by Colorado peeps last year. And now we have a ton more New Mexican people joining because the area has been reinvigorated for the Game of Infinity, which is great. So it'll be held at Tavern of Souls, which is a local game store. They just moved into a larger space in the same shopping center that they were at. And it is, I'm very excited for it. It'll be 2 days, 5 missions. We will have, we're going to go bowling. There is a bowling alley down the street. And it's funny, so that is actually a callback to history. The first Brookgate Blitz we held, the last night we went bowling at that same bowling alley. So I decided, hey, let's call back. Let's do this again. No one that there's only 2 people there that would probably remember that. So it's gonna be a fun event. It's $80 to register. We are on Facebook under the Rio Grande Retribution. We have our page. If you want any information, you could contact me.
What dates are it?
May 17th, 18th, and 19th. 17th is the setup
day. So it's $80 for 3 days.
It's $80 for 3 days. Okay. And from that, you get a goodie bag, which comes with a t-shirt, a patch, a custom miniature that we had custom made for the event, and a custom measurement tool.
Okay.
So that's the baseline of what you get. And then we have a huge prize pool that we already have where we'll have 2 tables, a small prize pool table and a large prize pool table, and everybody will be able to get 1 thing from each.
Okay. So Tavern of Souls, $80, 3 days, get prizes. Now, in the prizes, are you doing that Las Vegas thing where you spin the wheel?
Oh, you know, that is kind of their thing, and I would feel like I'm just stealing that. I do like the idea. But for, you know, my first year, this is the first year, we're going to keep it simple. We're not going to do anything crazy. You know, this is the first time Albuquerque's had a bigger event since 2019, the last Rumble. So, you know, I decided, you know, keep it simple. Do the basic stuff. Support local stores. We're going to have a bunch of prize support. We're going to do a couple raffles. We're going to have a fundraising thing, giveaway. You know, just do the basic stuff. Next year, we'll look at doing something crazy. You know, just keep it simple for this first year. See how it goes. And then just make sure that it is a good event so that people will talk about it. And then we can start messing with the algorithm.
Okay. So one of the things we discussed in the part one all those years ago were food options, dietary concerns.
Yes.
Because I think we have in the planning, move people in, say, nutrients and waters come in, waste goes out. Tavern of Souls has bathrooms.
Good Tavern there. Tavern of Souls has bathrooms.
How about the food scene around there?
Food scene, which is one of the reasons I chose Tavern of Souls. I mean, I was looking at other places that would have food there, but Tavern of Souls is surrounded by, like, five different restaurants.
Okay.
There is an Asian restaurant, there is, right across the street there, or in the same parking lot, there's a Mexican restaurant. Across the street, there is a coffee shop. Across the street, there's a sandwich shop, there's several places, all within walking distance. So that's one of the reasons that really got me at that place, is there was a lot of places to eat. So we don't have to worry about bringing in food. We don't have to worry about people traveling for food. It's a short walk to food, and you have options.
Okay, so with that, how long is your lunch break? And this comes into, like, how many games are we getting a day?
Yes,
because that's always a problem at conventions. Is because all the tournaments set up, it's not like a staggered lunch break. Like a third of the tournaments will end at like 11 to noon. The other third should end noon to 1 and 1 to 2. So there's not like rotations. Like lunchtime, everyone get lunch. It's like,
yes.
You got half an hour. It's like, well, there's 12 people working at the restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. So we are doing 3 rounds day 1. There'll be an hour lunch after round 1. And then 2 and 3 will go after that. And then second day, there'll be rounds 4 and 5. And there'll be a lunch break in between those rounds. And then there'll be a reward ceremony afterwards. And then we'll go... I have a couple places that I want to go for dinner. I was thinking some of those... Tin Can Alley place kind of places where it's like there's
the food
ten
halls.
Halls, yeah, where there's like 10 different places where everybody, you don't really have to worry about reserving seating,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to worry about, oh, I don't want that food, because, you know, you have an option. There's 30 places to eat here. If you can't make up your mind, then I don't know how to help you there. That is beyond my control. I gave you every option on the table, and if you can't say yes to one of them, that's on you.
Yeah, because, well, the food hall I always go to is the one, Sawmill.
Sawmill, that's day 1, or day 2.
Okay, because they haven't opened up that food hall on 5th Street?
No, they haven't.
Near where we live?
Yeah.
They finished the exterior, but they haven't opened it up, so... So just jump around to different food halls?
Yeah, Okay. Yep.
I just want to know which day I need to avoid going to Sawmill.
The Saturday.
Saturday
the 18th.
Okay.
We're going to mob up there.
Well,
I mean, granted, there's only like 20 of us, so.
Well, last time I took a party there's that one place that serves churros that you can buy by the churros.
Yes.
So I bought a platter of churros.
It's easy.
Then I sat down there, you people wanted churros? Like, oh, I'll take one. No. I bought a platter of churros. That platter better be empty.
You better eat them, because I paid them.
They will go down your esophagus. After that, it's not my problem.
Yep.
But they will go down.
So, like I said, I wanted to keep it simple. Nothing out of the nothing crazy. I will have my car. I have a van. I could fit 9 people in there. Or sorry, 7 people in there. So I will have enough room to cart people around to the restaurants if they're from out of town and they don't have a car. Tavern of Souls will be providing drinks. And yeah, so and they'll have snacks there as well. Okay. So yeah, like I said, I'm gonna keep it simple. Keep it on the down low for the first one because I wasn't expecting more than 20. I said 32. We have room for 32.
Okay.
But I wasn't expecting more than 20.
Now, I was thinking about it, with all these alliterative names there, is there something in the lore about doing like a Kessel run or anything, like from Star Wars, of like making certain journey hops? Because that would be something to do for a year. Like tour the country and hit every like
back
regional
in the
Infinity
day
tournament?
Before.
Like Rem Racers.
I think it was 2016. So there used to be, so it was called the Southwest Super Meta. And it was called the circuit. It was the Four Corners Circuit. You went to there's the Salt Lake Showdown, the Colorado Krug, the Arizona Armageddon, and Rumble Under 66. And you got a patch from each of them, and if you went to all of them and went to Rumble all in 1 year, you got a special patch. And so they did that for like 3 years. And so I did that 1 year. And so that was kind of the pilgrimage is doing, because we were one of the largest metas. Like if we were like we decided that we're all one meta. And it included Oklahoma, West Texas, and yeah, that's about it. And the Four Corners. So included all of that, and it was one of the biggest metas in the world, and the most active metas, too. So, because, I mean, we had different companies there, some of the biggest terrain companies were in that area, the miniature bag company was there, I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff coming out of these, and some of the biggest tournaments, too. So, that's how we had the Southwest Super Meta, and it was the pilgrimage to go to each of the Four Corners. And then there was like the Four Corners grudge matches. So if you had somebody, you could like challenge people from other states, and you get patches for challenging people from other states in the Four Corners. So it was really cool.
Okay, I could see.
There's nothing like that right now. But I could see it happening. I mean, there's a couple tournaments that I would want to go to because there's a lot of cool ones up on the East Coast. Like there's Battle of the Beltway, which is the one in Nova. So I did that one. I want to do the Baltimore Brawl. And then there's what is that one? Colder Than Carbonite, which is in Canada. And that's the one that Ash goes to.
Yeah, I've heard mention of that one. Well, that was the whole, wasn't that their point of their podcast, prepping?
Yeah, pretty much. And then after that, they're just like, oh, okay, we're done.
We're done.
We'll have an episode in like 3 months.
Yeah, they did one, then it's like, ah, we'll be back sometime. Yeah. I'll shut down the Patreon.
We have other games to play. Which, granted, I get that.
Well, that's his whole business, is playing
games. Yeah, you can't just stick to one game.
Well, that's like, The Twilight Zone. There's an episode of The Twilight Zone where a guy dies. He's a gambler. And, like, he goes to heaven and, like, lives in a casino. And he always wins. He can never lose.
Yeah.
Then he realizes it's hell because he can never get the rush of actually, like, losing or winning. Like, winning doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, winning doesn't mean anything if you keep doing it.
Yeah. So that... But you have to think, my job is to play games all day, and I can never stop.
Yeah, you have to constantly be making content. If you stop, you lose.
That's why this is a hobby.
This is a hobby.
Not a source.
Yes. Which is why we don't have a set schedule, because that's work.
Well,
that's a job.
I thought about that. It's like, Because, like, anything but a one, they take Patreon.
Yeah.
Like, buy better equipment. And it's like, after a certain point, a mic's a mic. You can hear me well enough.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to me, improving the quality of the mics isn't going to change whether you want to listen to me or not.
Yeah, exactly.
at a certain point.
Yeah.
It's like, so we have the gear. I pay, like, the annual subscription for the podcast. YouTube's free, so it's like.
Yeah.
And normally, you know what the YouTube really is? That's my painting notes.
Yeah, so you can keep track of, that's a great idea.
How did I paint that guy? Okay, yeah, I used that brush.
Yep. You can literally go back and watch yourself and see what you did.
I have done that. I'm way behind on uploading videos.
I'm
way behind. But, so, with the tournament, you know, we've still got some while in there. Get some more episodes and talk about, like, the progress and what happened afterward.
Yeah, we have about a month.
Yeah. So if anyone's out there and you want to go check out Albuquerque, you can roll in there.
Yeah.
And play some Infinity. But going forward, Horizon Scan, Brian, what are you excited about? What's coming out?
Orcs.
Okay.
Orcs and the Infinity Tournament. That is definitely my two biggest things right now.
Okay, I would thought you were going to bring up Morkborg, the Kickstarter, Steel Psalm, Morkborg. You forgot all about that, didn't you?
No, I Kickstarted it.
Oh, you did?
No, yeah, 100%. I didn't get the RPG because, like, I don't.
Oh, okay, because I wanted the book, the Steel Psalm.
Oh, no, I got the Steel Psalm. Because there was the two books.
Yeah.
So there's the miniature game one and then the RPG one. I just skipped on the RPG one.
I was going to ask if you wanted to split it because I thought you would take the RPG and I'd take Steel Psalm.
No, I want Steel Psalm.
That's the thing I liked about Planet 28. Remember they had the, like, you could buy two copies?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Do they have that for Steel Psalm?
They don't.
Okay. All right. I'll just have to get my own. And hopefully.
No, you could do it as an add-on.
Okay. Add me on.
Okay.
All right. I want that one too. Oh, but I wouldn't get the PDF. I guess I'd have to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something I found is Armies of Fantasy for Bretonnia.
Mm-hmm.
I found a copy up at Brothers Grimm on Long Island, but the edge was dinged up. And I hate that. It just really bothers me.
Yeah.
So I bought the electronic copy. And I actually think running short of books is actually part of the plan to get you by the electronic. Because you need Armies of Fantasy. But, you know, the thing is, it's like, why don't I have more electronic copies? Because, like, especially since I travel, you see how many Necromunda books, like, I bring? That box is heavy. It's like,
oh, trust me, I know how much.
I had you carry that box.
Yes, you had me carry that box, and I'm playing Necromunda tonight. And I'm just like, I have three books, and this isn't even scratching the surface of what I can
bring.
All
your options out there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have the Apocrypha, I have my gang book, and the Big Core rule book.
Yeah, that's all you really, you don't even really need an Apocrypha.
No, you don't. Yeah. But I just wanted to show it off.
Oh, okay. That you had a copy?
Yeah. No, these are all a whole bunch of new players, and I'm just like, oh, look at all. I have dice, because we looked online. They're not selling dice anymore online. You can't buy Necromunda dice. So it's just like, now I'm showing off as like, oh, I have painted miniatures. I have terrain. I have all the books. I have all.
Well, next time I run through that store in Stanton, Virginia, I'll take a picture of all the dice, because.
Yeah.
They always sell it, like, above MSRP.
Of course.
But they always have it.
But they always have it. I mean, you either sell below and never have anything, like us, or you sell above and always have everything.
What else am I looking for? Oh, something that I've been wondering about. Cyberpunk Red, the new limited edition skirmish book. So the version I would want would be 250. And it's like, I don't know if it's different enough from the core box to be worth.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at, like, Halo coming out, and it's, like, it's $125 for the big box.
That's why I was like, $250. It is a lot of gongs.
I love Mantic. Like, I bought a bunch of Mantic Marauder orcs because I'm just like, I need some more orc stuff. $25 for 10 orcs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's limited edition, which I love.
So yeah.
Buy it now or you miss it. But it's like, will I? Like, do I need another starter box when I just want the miniatures? And are the miniatures worth $250? I mean, it's got a board and everything, so it's like I was excited and was going to pull the trigger, but once I saw the $250 price tag, because I don't want the standy version.
No,
like $100 and something, and there's other stuff coming out.
Yeah,
it's like there's more Necromunda Forge World stuff coming out.
Of course,
I know Old World Empire can't be that far behind orcs. Behind dwarves.
Yeah,
the dwarves come out, and I play that. So it's like hitting the point of like, yes, it will expand it. It'll expand a collection of models for a game I haven't played.
Exactly.
Is that where I want to spend my $250?
I was thinking about pre-ordering it. I decided not to. I'd rather get Halo.
Yeah.
Half the price.
Yeah. Or get something like Steel Psalm.
Steel Psalm.
How many
mecha games can we collect? Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, and that's the problem is when I still have outstanding left, like Mobile Arms.
You still have Mobile Arms waiting.
I'm waiting for that.
Which I read the rules this weekend. Very good.
Okay. Because you got your.
I got the rule books. Yeah, see?
You just got paper.
Yes. Paper and dice and everything else.
But I went all in on the Mobile Arms from Blacksite because I wanted the models themselves.
Yes.
Because you can play Gamma Wolves, Ash Barker's game. I didn't even know about Steel Psalms, but that would fit right in there. So there's a lot of these.
That's why I got one of the mechs from Blackout.
Yeah.
Because it fits perfectly in. And then there's another, the next blaster is another mech involved.
That's right,
game.
You were telling me about.
Yeah,
that.
So yeah, we just need to collect all of the mech games at every size so that, you know, we can play other games and let's just look at those on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, I like your plan of where you just buy rule books.
Just buy rule
stick
books.
Stick them on the shelves.
Just buy rule books, and then you'll find miniatures later.
You know, and my wife had me clean up the space, everything, and so I lined up all the rule books. Osprey does such a great job in making rule books you'll never read or play.
Yep.
But they look so good.
They're perfectly
the
uniform, the same color, and then even if they're hardback, it's still the same size. They're nice and stylized. They look good on the shelf. You're not wrong.
Did you ever see the movie Arachnophobia?
Yes.
There's a scene in there where he has like all the wine. He's running into the bottom like, oh, how much? That's $250 a bottle. Wow, it must be tasty. You don't drink it.
You just look at it and own it.
<It's> like... But after that, we'll probably talk about this later, Bolt Action 3rd Edition.
Yeah. I've never played it. So that's a you game.
Well, let's see if they retcon 1939 and 1940, like change the lore.
Yeah, just change the lore. You know, it's easy. They, you know, I heard they might introduce female Soviet snipers.
That might work their way in.
Yeah. I mean, how could they?
Well,
how could they?
That's kind of like the producers. Remember that as a line? This time the Germans win.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up there before it gets a little more off book. Well, thank you for joining us at Miniature Wargaming Labs, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.